The following is a paid program. The opinions expressed are solely those of the sponsor and not necessarily those of WFAS or its advertisers.
Peace of mind with Lipman Gross.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney. I'm your host, Bernie Crooks, from the law firm Lipman Crooks. We're based right here in White Plains, and we also have offices in Fishkill, New York, and in New York City. Or you can visit us online at lipmancrooks.com. We're heard every Thursday evening at 6:05 to 6:35 p.m. right here on WFAS AM 1230. And tonight, our guest is Judy Gartman, and Judy teaches kids to read. Right, Judy?
I do teach them to read, but I teach other things too, like writing and math. So it's a variety of skills.
All right, we're going to get into all of that. Well, how did you get into this field, Judy?
I think I always loved working with kids. I knew I was going to be a teacher. And I went into teaching. I got a master's in reading, worked as a classroom teacher, took a master's in administration and decided that I was going to use my reading master's and just wanted to stay connected with the student.
Now, did you ever teach in a classroom setting?
Yes. I actually taught in this school district, Greenberg Central 7. I was in the district for 30 years. I started in the classroom. I started the full-day kindergarten here, first grade, second grade, third grade. Then I became a reading specialist. Ended up at Bailey School, R.J. Bailey, and was there for 15 years and left the school system and is in private practice and speech making and so on.
So you worked in the public school system right here in Westchester, and then after a while you went out on your own.
An exciting time, yes.
Now, why is it? You've been teaching English, I guess?
No, I've been teaching, first I was a classroom teacher, so I taught all the subjects. But in private practice, it is reading, writing, vocabulary, study skills, how do you take tests. And in the last few years, I've even been teaching math.
And you have a special focus on helping kids with special needs?
Absolutely.
Do you only do that, or do you help typical kids as well?
I help typical kids as well. And that's why I also use the term learning coach. And I use the term coach because I want to think of it as a positive. I'm optimistic, I'm motivational, and I think everyone needs some help in figuring out ways to learn easier and to get to a higher level or to get more in depth about learning and reading.
Now, why is it, in your experience, you've probably worked with hundreds if not thousands of kids, that some children enjoy reading and for others it's a chore, oh, I got to read another book?
It's absolutely true. And that's why I think that certain kids really, adults, children, there are preferences. And nowadays, certainly in the school system, nonfiction texts, magazines, using articles that really talk about real life, maybe will make non-readers more interested. And there's even, like now, graphic novels that are wonderful, and it's a way of easing in.
Now, from experience, I have four kids, and one of them, you could give him a book and he'd be ready for the next one by the next day. The others, you know, it might sit there for a week or two. Did you start? No, I'm going to get to it. I'm going to get to it. So I certainly can empathize with the fact that some kids are more into it than not. But is it the same thing to pick up a book and read as it is to these days? You can, I guess, buy a CD and listen to it. Is that the same effect?
Well, I certainly don't think so. I think reading is personal. It's private. We can't see it. We can't see the act of reading. So that, I mean, one of the words is metacognition, is someone explaining to a child or an adult, what does it feel like to read? What are you thinking about? How do you stop? How do you pause? What's the great strategies of reading? And so it's a different skill, and some people naturally enjoy it, and we'll read a book a day, and then there's those that won't. But the same way as I'll even use the sports section and which I use quite a bit, to approach it from an interest of a boy or a teenager. I mean, I work with up to age 20, and so you have to find what makes the person tick.
Hi, so you just raised an interesting question. On the weekends, when I sit down to read the paper, which is really the only time that I get a chance to really sit down and enjoy it, for some reason, no matter where it's placed within the paper, I pull out the sports section first, read that, and then go on to the next topic. And, you know, by the time I'm, you know, a half hour into it, maybe then I'll pick up, like, the first, you know, the front page. Why do I do that?
That's the truth. That's what you like, and it helps you relax, and you navigate to that section. I like to look at the style section, and I will, and I have a protocol. I start with the style, I go to the real estate, and so we go what makes us feel good, what we're good at, and then we probably won't go to the weaker review, maybe the New York Times, even though I do, and I also go to the editorial section. I love to analyze how the person, David Brooks, the New York Times, how he writes and why he is so convincing. And I use those strategies to teach kids how to write, because there's great writing and you need to be taught how to write if you're not a natural writer.
So it's not just about reading. You also help with writing?
I absolutely help with writing from first grade on. Writing is incorporated with reading. And I'm going to say nowadays, in the last 10 years, 15 years, we have in the educational system combined it. And that's why for some children in math, using the skills of math, those natural, quote, math children are having a hard time because there's all the problem solving. And then the New York State tests say to the children, explain your reasoning in math, and those natural math kids are having a hard time because it's intuitive. So all these skills need to be brought into base and taught.
Now, if you're a natural reader and a good reader, does that necessarily mean you write well?
No, no. In fact, I have a student now who is a wonderful reader and enjoys it, and she is having a very difficult time writing, and I'm working with her on writing skills and how to teach it in a gentle way, and I'm going to use the word gentle.
Now, reading is different from reading comprehension, right?
Absolutely.
So what's the difference?
Well, I'm going to tell you one example. Parents say, you know, maybe to their friends, oh, my child is reading the New York Times. And they may be reading it word by word, decoding it, but they really don't understand what they're reading. For me, if a child doesn't understand, they're not reading. Comprehension is the deal. Yes, you must decode. Yes, I teach all the strategies. Yes, dyslexic children have a difficult time decoding the words. However, if you don't get that comprehension, and if you don't stop and strategize and say, hey, what does this mean, you're not reading.
How do you know, as a teacher, how do you know if the student is comprehending?
Well, you can't see it. You have to question. And questioning is, there is various levels of questioning, from the first level, which is factual. You know, where does this story take place? Who is the character? Now, those are pretty easy and concrete. But if we go to the next level of why are certain things happening, and what I call, or in the field we call it, inference questions. Inference questions are higher level and are difficult. And what I mean is that you have to read in between the lines. You have to figure out what the writer, the author is saying, and a lot of people have a hard time. I'm going to say people in general.
I'm Bernie Crooks. I'm speaking with Judy Gartman, who's a reading coach. And I guess I would ask you, Judy, why do people write like that, where they imply things and the reader has to draw certain inferences? Why don't they just say what they want to say?
Well, it's higher level writing. I'm also doing SAT work with some of my students, and I was doing some SAT practice exercises. Very difficult, even for myself. I'm going to say, we're sitting there, we're trying to figure out the attitude of the writer, the purpose of the writer. when you're reading, I keep coming back to the Times because that's my morning fix, but if the writer wants to give a certain point of view, there is going to be the simple message of just doing it in facts really isn't enough. For a higher level novel, even if you want to read, you don't want to just be told that it's who, what, where is happening. You want to get into the character, into the reasoning, and that involves inferences.
So does that mean that two different people might come to two different inferences or conclusions from reading the same passage?
Absolutely. And that's what happens when you're reading the SATs. There's four or five answers. You may end up with two, process of elimination, two choices, and it's difficult. I'm going to say, yes, it can be taught, but it is not easy to say exactly why. And it's based on concrete, but there is a feeling like you have to understand. Oh, and I'm going to say one other thing. Background information. In order to be an educated reader, you need to know what the story is about, where the author is coming from, what happened in that historical time, if you really want to get To Kill a Mockingbird, you know, what's happening. And I believe that every child that starting a book, let's say with historical fiction, or even from the 1950s or 40s, whatever, if you don't know what's happening in that period, you're missing it. You're missing the boat. And a lot of kids open up a book, start reading, and they think they got it. But they didn't get it because there is a reason why the author wrote it, and you have to know the historical context.
So you're not getting as much out of the book as you could have?
No. You're getting it on one level. And that's how a lot of kids avoid getting into it. They need to be taught that instead of just jumping into the book, I just did a wonderful book that took place in the 1830s. And I told this student, I want you to do a little research, and it's easy on the computer. Find out all the things that happened in the 1830s. And what was fascinating was during that 1832, there was all this information about Charles Darwin. And he went to the Galapagos and this, and you followed it from month to month. Well, it was really important to get that understanding because people don't understand what was happening. Of course, there was no computers, there's no electricity or this and that. But I want to give them a full sense of what it's about. And you could only get it from looking at the entire picture.
It sounds like almost before you pick up a novel or a book to read, there ought to be like a sheet on the side, on the insert, saying you must have read these books first to get the most out of this book.
I believe that. I never think of it as books, but now it's so easy with a computer. I'm working with a student. I say, okay, let's turn around. What happened, you know, at the, you know, this trial? What happened in 1870? And if you use it, and it's easy, it takes no time, but I believe it's essential to get into it because you have to feel it. You have to know it. And you're missing it, and that's part of the joy.
Well, there's obviously a lot more to it than meets the eye. I'm Bernie Crooks. I'm speaking with Judy Gartman, who's a reading coach. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back after this brief message.
All his life, little Stevie has been special. When he grows up, he probably won't be able to live on his own or work to support himself. Stevie's parents already worry about what will become of their sweet boy after they're gone. Kim was a corporate executive until a drunk driver ended her career and nearly her life. Now she has a traumatic brain injury, a sizable settlement, but no clear plan for the future. Stevie and Kim could each use a special needs trust to secure their finances, care, and maximum independence while letting them keep their public benefits such as SSI and Medicaid. Who can set up a special needs trust? The law firm of Littman Crooks, members of the Special Needs Alliance, a national network of disability and public benefits lawyers. If you or someone you love has special needs, greater peace of mind is just a phone call away. Call Littman Crooks today, 684-2100, or visit littmancrooks.com, because special people need special plans.
Peace of mind with Littman Crooks.
Welcome back to the show. I'm Bernie Crooks, host of Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney. I'm from the law firm Littman Crooks. You can visit us online at littmancrooks.com. And while you're there, take a look at our calendar of events. Our attorneys are always speaking at events across the county and volunteering at community service events, so take a look. Our guest tonight is Judy Gartman, who's a reading coach. And before the break, we were talking about how important it is to really understand the topic before you get into a book so that you can get the most out of the book. And I guess I want to just flip to another angle here, Judy. I know a lot of people, when they read, they'll mouth the words to themselves. Like, I'll see them on the train going into the city. It's almost like you think they're having a conversation with themselves, and you see they're actually reading. Is this a good way to read, to sort of mouth the words to yourself, or is that not recommended?
Well, I wouldn't necessarily recommend it, but some people need to do it. Some people need to feel it. It's almost like another modality. But it's not something that I actually teach. But like, for example, the other day, and I always have these examples of kids, one of my students, I said to them, okay, read this page, you know, comfortably read it to yourself, and they'll tell me, you know, Judy, I really don't get it when I'm reading to myself. I need to read it out loud. So you have to listen to who you're talking to, your student, because the truth comes out. They're honest. They tell you, I'm confused. And what I want to do is make sure that they understand that they need to figure out how to read. It is not natural. It is skill-based. And it is not just learning your ABCs, but there are so many strategies, and children don't know it naturally, or adults, for that matter.
Now, there are different strategies for different readers.
You know, it's so interesting. I use certainly a lot of the same strategies. However, I have a student each week that's coming for math, and each week I invent a different strategy for him to figure out how he needs to take it in. So that there are lots of strategies that, you know, teachers use, but there are new ones, and what I do is I need to figure it out for so many students.
So how do you know which strategy is right for that particular student?
Well, what occurs is you start using it and you figure it out. And if it doesn't work, you try another. A lot of the children, for example, I'm just going to use comprehension. They really don't know that when they're reading a paragraph, they're supposed to be visualizing or seeing it, making a picture in their brain, whether it's black or white and color. And I actually talk about that. You know, do you see it? Is it a movie? Are you making the movie? Then, after you read one or two sentences, do you understand what you're reading? Do you get it? And if you don't get it, it's okay to reread it. Now, you have to be taught that, because it's not a natural thing. People just continue reading. And like I said to a child the other day, do you understand? I said, what do you do if you don't get it? Oh, you know, I just move on and go to the next page. But the strategy is you have to realize that you don't get it, which is a higher level skill when you don't get it, and then reread it, and then you have to push yourself. It's not easy. It is not natural. Reading is not natural like the spoken, like speech. It is something that you have to think about, and if it's not an easy getting to reading, then you have to work on it. And I mean, one of the statistics, it's like 1 out of 5 people have reading problems.
See, that's very interesting to me, Judy. When I read, sometimes I'll turn the page and then I'll realize I really didn't get the last passage of the prior page, and I'll turn the page back. And I always wondered whether or not that was the right thing to do, but I guess I'm hearing you say that's better than continuing on, not fully getting it.
Absolutely. And one thing that I even have some of my old college books, and I'll go back to using strategies when I was a student, and I did similar things. I underlined. I wrote in the margin. I think I've always been this natural teacher, and when I go back and I actually show my students how I did it back then, I actually used a ruler, which is kind of crazy. Now I just scribble right across. But I believe that in order to make you an active thinking reader, you need to underline your key sentences, take notes on the side, circle it, which words don't you get, because we don't just get it. It is work, and it's my pleasure. It slows you down, but the point is, do you want to get it? Do you want to enjoy it? Or do you want to just say, oh, I read that book?
Now, what are some of the challenges you face when you are teaching kids with special needs how to read?
Well, I think one of the biggest things is self-esteem. Kids know, just by looking around them, whether they're in kindergarten or first grade, that certain kids get it and they don't. And they get the answers and they're getting it quickly and they're getting it wrong. So already self-esteem starts going down, down, down. So that's a big deal, making kids and parents realize the strategies on how to make kids feel good. I was working 2 years ago with a student who really had a significant case of dyslexia or a learning disability. And we ended up having the most wonderful relationship. I saw him 3 times a week at the beginning. He ended up going this year to a Windward school in White Plains, which is one of the outstanding schools in our region. But I led him into the path of literacy. And then I know the parents during the years, I would call and I would connect with the teachers there to make sure that I was on that same path. And when he entered, he was fine, and he's there in his first year, and he's dropped by the other day with his bicycle to say hello and give me a hug. But it is, for him, it's laborious. But what we worked on was, for example, he's very intelligent, as the other children that have these needs. We worked on Egyptian gods, and we made a book about Egyptian gods, and we understood it, and we figured out the pictures, and I found words, and I underlined it, and he did get it. Was it easy? No. But he felt good. He still enjoys it. When I went to Egypt last year, I brought him back something. But the thing is to make him feel good, and he did, but it's not easy. It doesn't go away.
But it's rewarding.
Oh, my God. I work 8-9 hours in a row, and it's my personal passion, and I feel fortunate that I was able to do it my entire life, and I have no intention of stopping.
My guest this week is Judy Gartman, a reading coach. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be back right after this message.
I can't believe we're packing all this up. Is the storage space big enough?
Mom will just sell what doesn't fit.
We can't tell Dad we sold a house. It'll make things worse.
There must have been another way to pay for his care.
She said they talked about a plan, but once he had the stroke, it was too late.
Well, they're going to move him to a new facility.
Mom, that's over an hour away.
There's nothing I can do. I'll find an apartment. Maybe I'll get a job.
A job?
I have no choice. Dad can't be left alone.
Peace of mind with Littman Group.
Nobody knows what the future holds, so make sure your assets and loved ones are protected. Elder Law addresses the quality of life needs of people over 50, including long-term care, estate planning, and special needs trusts. Plan for your future. Call Littman Crooks today or learn more at littmancrooks.com.
Littman Crooks, protecting your loved ones and your life savings. Call 684-2100.
Peace of mind with Littman Crooks.
That's littmancrooks.com or call 684-2100.
Welcome back to the show. I'm Bernie Crooks, host of Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney. Our guest this week is Judy Gartman, who's a reading coach, and we've been learning a lot about what it means to read the right way. And I guess it's never too early to start reading the right way, is it, Judy?
Well, it's interesting. It's always up to the kids. And in the last year, I started getting quote some younger children, preschoolers, like four-year-olds. And what's interesting is these are kids who want to learn how to read themselves. And it's not parents pushing, because that doesn't work at all. And one little guy I knew since his birth, because I was working with his brothers, and his parents said, he wants to read. Well, he's reading, and it's the most exciting process. It's different for these four-year-olds. I'm not doing a lot of writing, but their quick, their joy in their face when you're teaching, it's opening up this other world. And he is absolute reading. And it's not, it's something he wants to do. He feels good about it. This other little girl I have now, it's called, she calls coming to me Judy School. And they're ready. They're ripe, just like a tomato. They're ripe, and it's correct for them, but it wouldn't be correct for every 4 or 5 year old. Just like children don't all learn to read exactly at 6, 7. And by the way, that is harder because now with the state standards, children need the skills earlier.
Yeah, talk about kids being different from one another. I've noticed some kids actually will pick up a book over the summer, whereas others, you couldn't get them to pick up a book.
And that's one of the concerns about our two-month break summer. The brain is a muscle and needs to be used and exercised. And if you sat, if you lied in bed for the whole summer, you'd have a very difficult time getting up September 1. Yes, children do need a read during the summer. But, you know, I don't want to say it in the sense that they need a read. We have to have fun reading. And there are so many ways that I find to encourage, to have fun, to pick the right books. The right books, which means looking, comparing, reading 4 books, you know, putting them in front of you, reading the first page. Does it feel good? Is it too hard? It's got to work. Now, some of my readers that have a difficult time, they're now reading some of the graphic novels, and they're also reading Diary of a Wimpy Kid. That series, in fact, one of my sixth graders, he's 12 years old, said to me last week, "Judy, I haven't picked up a book like this and had fun, I think, in my whole life." And, you know, I know he's right. I know because he came to me last year in the beginning of sixth grade with great difficulty in reading. Now, this is his greatest joy, and now he's picking books, he's selecting them. Books like that, it's a gentle process. We have fun, we analyze, we talk about the words, and I spend a lot of time with kids on vocabulary because really, what do these words mean? For certain kids, we write vocabulary stories. But the point is that you need to figure out how to read during the summer. And sometimes, you know, kids come to me and I help them through the summer.
What about the computer? Kids these days are different than when we were growing up. And I'm not sure if it's better or worse or the same. But when you're reading on the computer, does that count?
It does count, but it's different. It's like, you know, is your social studies book, is it, you know, is that reading? All these types of readings are different, and you have to approach it differently. You could highlight on the computer. You could still do some of the same strategies.
But it's not a substitute for picking up a book?
Absolutely not. Or how about the Kindle? You know, the new books like that? I haven't given up my hard copy yet, but I have friends, and I'll say, show me how you're doing it, and they're readers, let's say, quote, real readers, and they say, well, look, I could read 3 books at the same time. I go for, and I don't need to go there. It's not my need.
Personal preference.
Absolutely.
I'm Bernie Crooks, host of Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney. We're going to take a short break, and then we'll be right back to finish up with Judy Gartman.
Sometimes we're presented with questions that are difficult to face.
Mommy, I don't like my scary dreams.
I know, but Mommy will always be here to make them go away.
But Mommy?
Yes, dear?
Who will make them go away if you die?
Unless we have effective answers to these questions, the results can be financially and emotionally devastating. Littman Crooks provides legal expertise for special needs trusts and estate planning so your loved ones will always be taken care of. For persons with disabilities, a special needs trust can enhance their quality of life while maintaining their public benefits. As a member of the Special Needs Alliance, we design wills, trusts, powers of attorney, and health care directives tailored to your family's situation. Plan for the future today. Call Littman Crooks or visit littmancrooks.com.
Littman Crooks, protecting your loved ones and your life savings. Call 684-2100.
Peace of mind with Littman Crooks.
That's littmancrooks.com or call 684-2100.
Welcome back to the show. I'm Bernie Crooks, and I'm speaking with Judy Gartman. Judy, we've just got about a minute left. I'm sure the parents listening are wondering, what can they do? So what advice do you have for parents to do the right thing so that the kids become good readers and become motivated to want to read?
Well, modeling is probably our most effective way of how we teach our children correct behavior. So if parents are reading, reading books, magazine, newspapers, bringing kids in on the conversation, look, I found this great article. But another thing is parents, let's say they want to read a book with the child, Fat Man from Space, and they could each, they could alternate paragraphs. Parents could read one, child could read another. Oh, one other thing. At bedtime, it's not the time for a child that has reading issues to read out loud to you. It's exhausting, it's tiring. Read to the child. If you want to engage them in an actual reading activity, don't do it, you know, at bedtime because they're so tired. But getting back to reading paragraph by paragraph, chapter by chapter, for some older kids, teenagers, the parent and the child could each have the same book, two different copies, read it separately over a few days, and then have a